So Sinn Féin have rejected a plan by the DUP leader Arlene Foster to break the deadlock at Stormont. It involved restoring the executive and dealing with the outstanding issues at the same time in a parallel process. The DUP leader described it as the common sense solution, but it was quickly dismissed by Sinn Féin. Arlene Foster outlined her plan at a meeting of the DUP executive in Belfast last night.
I am proposing this evening that we restore an executive immediately, put ministers back into post so that decisions can be made and that Northern Ireland can have a government again. But we also agree to bring forward legislation to address culture and language issues in Northern Ireland within a time-limited period to be agreed. And if we fail to do that in a way that commands cross-community support, then the executive would cease to exist.
Now, that speech was made at 8pm, but under 90 minutes later, Sinn Féin had turned the offer down. The Northern Party leader, Michelle O'Neill, said that Sinn Féin is committed to making the political institutions work, but that essentially the DUP had not gone far enough. We're going to go live in a moment to a press conference on the Falls Road with Michelle O'Neill. But first of all, let's talk to the UUP's Chief Whip, Steve Aiken. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Benny.
What's your party's response to what happened yesterday evening?
Well, let's be honest about it. Arlene Foster made a significant U-turn and decided that she needed to break the deadlock and get this process going. And the fact that the whole process has been rejected straight up front by Gerry Adams, and I'm not even sure if it's Gerry Adams or Sinn Féin are doing this, means that we're into a situation now that we're moving from what could have been a solution to an area where we're into considerable uncertainty. And, you know, why has the opportunity not even been taken to explore some of the issues that were involved in that conversation? Benny, you know as well as I do, in no way am I a DUP supporter. But we do need to get Northern Ireland government back up and running.
So all the issues. Is the suggestion from Arlene yesterday, do you see that as some have described as an olive branch?
Yes, I do. I was quite surprised when I actually heard the speech and saw why the speech came through. I mean, when I was looking at the speech, you know, and I'm sort of being slightly Machiavellian about it, but I thought it was very un-Arlene-like. But there were definite sort of strands that were put in there.
But being totally honest, Steve, do you think that Sinn Féin were ever going to accept that, given even in recent days, Gerry Adams, he's repeated his calls for an Irish Language Act before they go in, a standalone Irish Language Act? So is this more of a gesture that they knew would be turned down?
No, Vinny, I don't even think this has anything to do with Irish language or equality or anything like this. This is Gerry Adams positioning himself for the forthcoming Irish general election in the Irish Republic. That's what he's doing. He's positioning himself.
How you feel that this works towards that.
What he's doing is he's building his position and he's building his state way he's going forward now to be able to boost Sinn Féin's electoral position in the Irish Republic. And what he's doing is he's raising the temperature. And he's doing this. He's using the people of Northern Ireland, the people who are with ever-extending health waiting lists, with people who've got problems with education, with small businesses, with business rates. People come on your programme day in, day out, complaining about the lack of governance. He is holding the people of Northern Ireland to ransom for his narrow electoral gains in the Irish Republic.
Cynical people, Steve, would say that perhaps your concern is that if this leads to another election, then the UUP could be completely wiped out, given how they performed in the last election.
Penny, where are we at this present moment in time? What are the issues that the people of Northern Ireland are concerned about? You had a programme the other day about what MLAs were doing. At the moment, and I've got a hard stop, I need to be away from here, but I'm talking a lot with sort of constituents. I'm doing lots of constituency business. And they are talking to me about real issues in social care, real issues with the health system. I'm talking to a lot of business people about...
Okay, well then, to shut me up, you're telling me there's no concern within your party that if there was another election, it might cause you further problems?
Benny, this isn't about the Ulster Unionist Party. This is about the fact that we don't actually have a government in Northern Ireland. We need to get a government in Northern Ireland. And I tell you what, direct rule ministers being installed from some Tory MP who's upset Theresa May to be sent over here to sort of work in our health system or our education system is not the way forward. The best result is to get a Northern Ireland executive up and running and getting a Northern Ireland get us moving forward, because we can't keep on with this.
Can you see, to be fair, Steve, where Sinn Féin are coming from? Their response and the reaction they did give to Arlene's comments. They feel like they were promised this Irish Language Act from way back, from the Good Friday Agreement, which your party, of course, was part of, Steve.
Well, Vinny, of course they weren't. I mean, the provisions...
Well, they perceived that they were.
Now, let's not talk about perception. The only agreement, if there was one, was at the Stormont House Agreement, which was between Tony Blair and Sinn Féin.
Well, one of your party members, Lord Kilcluny, did he not say yesterday that he agreed that they had been promised this Irish Language Act?
Vinny, Lord Kilcluny is not a party member and hasn't been a party member.
Member at the time, I meant to say, Steve.
There's been members of the time for a very long time.
So was he wrong?
I couldn't possibly comment on that.
Why not?
Where's our situation now, Vinny? Our situation is very, very clear. And this isn't about the Ulster Unionist Party. This is not filling in a time spacer until Sinn Féin come on and make their statement. This is about what is happening in Northern Ireland now. This is about the real issues we need to be dealing with.
Steve, stay there for a second, Steve. I want to bring in Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party. Kelly, do you agree with Steve in terms of the reaction from Sinn Féin? Should they have been welcoming this suggestion from Arlene Foster with open arms?
Their reaction was extremely quick. Quick to jump in and dismiss it. To be honest, at this stage, what we do need is for the two parties to stop the megaphone politics and start to talk to each other. You know, let's stop dismissing everything. Let's have a bit of an open mind on things. We were calling for this all week. We were asking for them to, you know, come forward with a gesture to say how we're going to get this going. DUP has come forward. I am sceptical about it. I think they're being cynical. But, you know...
Kelly, I just want to interrupt you for just a moment. We're going to go live to the Falls Road where Michelle O'Neill is just taking the microphone.
Good to go. Okay, well... Sinn Féin remain fully committed to making the institutions work. Our track record in that regard speaks for itself over the course of the last 10 years. We have been willing partners in government. We've been there because we want to be. The DUP have failed to embrace the principles of power sharing. They have failed to embrace the principles at the heart of the Good Friday Agreement of equality, of mutual respect and of parity of esteem. They have acted disrespectfully towards Irish identity and Irish culture, and they have failed to deliver people their rights, whether that be marriage rights, language rights, economic rights or cultural rights. So that has been the problem at the heart of the political crisis, the fundamental issue of rights. In regards to Arlene Foster's comments last night and the offer of a parallel process, this is not a new offer. This is an issue. The issue of a parallel process has been discussed and disregarded throughout the course of all of the negotiations which we have had to date. So in essence, it was making an offer which they knew would be rejected. The people out there want government. They want locally accountable institutions. They want the institutions to work, but they have to work in the way in which they're intended. They have to work on the principles of true power sharing. So in terms of the offer last night, in regards to Arlene Foster, it was an offer which they knew would be rejected, and it is certainly not a new offer.
Obviously, Michelle just taking questions now from members of the press on the Falls Road.
Any potential or any room for movement in any of the proposals that Arlene Foster's made?
No, as I said, the offer of a parallel process is not a new one. It's something that has been discussed with the DUP and indeed with the other parties and has been rejected. What we need to do is to get back around the table, and I asked all party leaders to a meeting last week where we discussed the issue of crunching down on the issues and actually trying to restore power sharing institutions. That remains our resolve. That's where we want to be. We want to be in the executive, taking on all of the issues which need to be resolved. But at the core of that executive has to be the issue of rights have to be resolved. And I welcome the fact that last night Arlene Foster said that she did not know anything to fear from the Irish language. And that is right. So the natural follow-through to that is to legislate for language rights.
What do you think of the idea that Sinn Féin is pursuing a chaos strategy?
Well, I haven't heard that. I'm very clear on the Sinn Féin strategy and what we're trying to do, and that is to make the institutions work. We want to be in government, we want to make the executive work, we want to deliver the rights for all citizens, but that's the very point. They have to deliver rights for all of our citizens.
Isn't the danger that last night on the public side, that people will see Arlene Foster as making a move to try and bridge the differences between your parties, and here you are this morning on the other side of that, knocking it back, and she may won out in the public's eye in the end?
Well, I'm more interested in making sure that we deal with the issues. And at the heart of the political crisis lies the issue of fundamental rights. We have to see citizens deliver their rights. We can't have a society where one section dominates over another. We need to have equal rights for everyone. We need to have everybody respected. And that has to be at the heart of good government. So in order to have a fully functioning, sustainable executive, then we need to deal with the issues. And I said, I welcome the fact that Arlene has recognised that no one has anything to fear from language rights. So the logical follow-on from that is to legislate for it. Let's establish an executive now. Let's deliver rights for citizens now. That remains the Sinn Féin position.
Michelle, two questions. The first is, you said there was nothing new in the offer. Was there anything new in the language? You've mentioned, say, the reference to Arlene Foster saying nobody has nothing to fear from Irish. She also said she wants to move to a situation where you could educate all your children together. Is that not new? And secondly, what cognizance do you take of the fact that in that room of the DUP executive, there wasn't one fluent Irish speaker? There wasn't one person who can speak the Irish language in a fluent way. In your own group, there are five of you here. None of you speak Irish regularly. And maybe three, four, five of your 27 members in the defunct assembly, three or four or five of them speak Irish fluently.
Well, Tommy, these are not a demand for Sinn Féin. These are demands for society. Good government, rights for all citizens, whether you be an Irish language speaker, whether you want to be married and you're from the LGBT community, these are rights for absolutely everybody. In government, you have to be responsible. And in government, where we want to be, we want to tackle all these issues head on, the issues of the health service, education, we want to take all those things on. But to be in government, you have to be there with willing partners. Sinn Féin will go back, and we have called for a focused approach to the negotiations to make sure we tackle the issues. The DUP and the British government know what needs to be done in order to establish the executive. The issue of a parallel process, as I said, is not new. It's something we've discussed before and rejected. So you can only take from that the offer was made knowing that it would be rejected. That being said, the public want local institutions. The public want local ministers to be held to account. That's where we want to be. That remains our resolve. We'll continue to engage with all the other parties to try and make the institutions work.
All right, thank you, folks.
Thank you.
There you go. That is, of course, the Sinn Féin leader in the North, Michelle O'Neill, talking on the Falls Road. Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party, you heard what she said there. This is not a new offer. The DUP knew this would be rejected.
Which is disappointing because it means that both sides are still playing that either side of the divide game. Let's be very clear. Sinn Féin have been offered something here. It may not be exactly what they want, but if there's a degree of flexibility shown, as they have said, they want to be in government. Arlene Foster has said that they want to be in government. Both of them have said they're ready to go back to the executive now, but there is this breaking point between the two of them, and only between the two of them. So they need to get back round the table themselves. They need to give each other confidence. They need to provide confidence to each other to make sure that their concerns and their scepticism around their current position can be dealt with.
Surely that was done through talks.
Well, no, it wasn't actually. It wasn't.
No, but it should be.
It should have been, absolutely, and that's where we need
to. So what was happening in these talks?
Well, to be honest, we talked about different things instead of getting down to the heart of the matter, exactly what the problem was. You know, we all talked outside, you know, about different things, and Sinn Féin went to the microphone, and DUP went to the microphone. But when it came to the cold, hard, round table, all-party talks, there was bluster, but there wasn't any productivity. And I have to say that the format of the talks was wrong. And now we need focus talks. We need those two parties to be honest and open and clear with everyone exactly what their positions are and what they want going forward.
Okay.
We need to have good, strong chairmanship of those talks so that we can have a focused outcome. because I'm sick of it, the public's sick of it, our health and education and infrastructure can't cope with this without decision-making happening.
Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party, thank you. We'll go back to Steve Aiken from the UUP in a moment and we'll take your call. 030 30 80 55 55. First of all, let's go to our BBC political correspondent, Enda McClafferty, who is on the Falls Road. And any surprises from what you heard there this morning?
No, because this is very much in keeping with the statement that Sinn Féin issued last night in the wake of that offer that was made by Arlene Foster at the Crown Plaza Hotel. Very much along the lines of what we heard last night was nothing new. Sinn Féin's position is that this was raised during the talks, obviously. It was knocked back then, so they don't see any merit in pursuing what has already been rejected, essentially, around the talks table. What is interesting in all of this is, Vinny, the fact that we have offers like this been put in the public domain before, if you're like, thrashed out around the table. And this is very much, I would imagine, Sinn Féin and the DUP now trying to do this negotiation in public, because they know that behind the scenes all avenues have been exhausted and they have one eye on the fact that all of this might come crashing down, and they want to be on the right side of public opinion whenever the blame is apportioned as to why things went badly wrong.
Do you think it's over already, Enda, and this is just the public show to try and bolster some kind of support?
Well, none of the parties will say that publicly. All of the parties will want to be sure that they are not the ones walking away from this process, because there will be a high price to pay, not least, of course, the salaries at some stage will have to be looked at, because everybody agrees that we can't continue to pay our politicians when they are not doing their job up at Stormont. So there is a pretty high stake involved here. But the parties publicly won't say that, but privately they're all acknowledging that the gaps are so wide now, it's going to take a mammoth effort to try and bridge them and to try and get institutions back up and running again. And that's the big headache that James Brookenshire has right now. He was supposed to have a process in place by now. At the end of the summer, he told us that he was going to start a talks process. That hasn't happened, because he knows in his heart that he doesn't want to begin a process which is doomed to failure, because he knows that the credibility of setting deadlines upon deadlines isn't working anymore for the public. So he is, in a sense, right now going around talking to the parties privately to see what can be done in the time that we have left to ensure that something can happen here. But as the day passes on, you do get a sense that there's nothing going to happen behind the scenes, and this is about the parties, if you like, in a very public way, saying this is what we would like to see happen, here's a solution, here's us willing to compromise, but the other side isn't up for meeting us on this particular challenge. So we're going to see, I would imagine, a lot more of this negotiation played out in the public arena as opposed to behind closed doors up at Stormont House.
And McClafferty on the Falls Road there for us this morning, thank you very much. Steve Aiken, this will all add into the frustration from the public. We've heard it on this programme many, many times and on other news outlets. You know, both parties are saying they want to be in the executive. We've had this prolonged period of talks and this it will just add to that annoyance that, you know, are we being played for fools? Are we getting anywhere when it comes to this? And now it looks like we're not.
Yeah, well, Vinny, I'm just looking over some of the notes I've just made there from what Michelle O'Neill was saying, and she says there was nothing new in this. But, you know, I was in the talks process and listening to what was going on. And while the getting the executive up and running was something Sinn Féin weren't keen on, but the idea of looking at equality, language and all the other issues in a time-limited manner, that hadn't been discussed. And bearing in mind that anything that goes through will need a legislative process, would take between about 6 and 9 months, whether it's introduced in Westminster, whether it's introduced in Stormont, whatever, it's going to take a length of time to go. So my reading of this, and I'm afraid I'd sort of have to agree with Enda on this one, this is window dressing by Sinn Féin in a response to what Arlene Foster said yesterday. But there's nothing new in that. And sort of rather than...
Although the suggestion is there, Steve, that this is also then, in a theory, window dressing by the DUP, because the suggestion is that they made this offer knowing it would be turned down.
No, but that's Sinn Féin's interpretation of that comment. I mean, if you read Arlene Foster's speech, and you looked at where the DUP positions are, and I've heard from DUP people today already who are nervous about the language she was using in that speech and where it was likely to lead to. If you look at that, there was a definite attempt to move things on. But this, and I've used the word, and I hate using cliches, but this megaphone diplomacy between the two, and I need to reiterate it, and I think anybody in Northern Ireland who looks at this and looks what's happening with their health service, their what's going on with education, business and infrastructure, any of these issues, bearing in mind, if you've been in a home or a business that's been flooded and worrying where the money's going to come to sort of help dry out your house and get your business up and running again, and you look at what's actually happening with this posturing and particularly what is indeed cynical moves by Gerry Adams to try and position Sinn Féin ready for an election in the Irish Republic. I think, you know, we need to ask very serious questions of where we're going to.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead, Benny.
Finally, Steve, just I've got quite a few callers waiting. I'm keen to get them on as well. How does it feel to be a member of the UUP, kind of watching this all from the sidelines, to an extent powerless really to change or influence what's happening?
Do you know something? I think if I was any politician in Northern Ireland at the moment on the sidelines, being completely powerless to make anything change, bearing in mind Gerry Adams isn't even a member of any sort of Northern Ireland sort of assembly or councillor, or an MP, we're being dictated to from outside Northern Ireland. People in Northern Ireland are really sick and fed up with what's going on with this political posturing. Let's get the Assembly back up and running, okay, and let's get the process going. Because, Finney, if we don't, the situation is going to get a lot worse.
Okay.
We need to get this sorted. Finney, thanks.
Steve Aiken from the UUP, thank you very much. We'll talk to journalist Sam McBride and Andre Murphy in just a moment. We'll take one call beforehand. Richard and Dundonald, go ahead, Richard.
Good morning, Finney.
Good morning.
I just listened to Michelle O'Neill there on the Falls Road.
Yes.
Speaking about equality. Now, I've never voted for the DUP in my life. I'm a Protestant. I would like to know what rights her constituents are not getting that I am getting. I'm on a hospital waiting list along with my wife for a couple of years now. We're struggling to help our family with school uniforms and stuff like this. And what are they not getting?
What's your message to Michelle O'Neill and to Sinn Féin in relation to how they've responded to this olive branch some have called from the DUP? What would you say to them?
I would say to them this. If it's just about the Irish Language Act, that's okay. But what will be the next obstacle in the way when they get the Irish Language Act? Will they be turning around and saying, we need something else? Because let's put it this way, Protestants are waiting on these commissioners and stuff to look into the past. The same as Catholics are waiting on it. So we're all in the same boat, Vinny. There's nobody getting any more than anybody else, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think they should have taken Arlene up on her offer last night?
I think they should have. But again, I agree with the Ulster Unionists there. Gerry Adams has another agenda. I don't know what it is. Behind closed doors, they can discuss this. But I'd like to know what Gerry Adams is poking his nose in here for, okay, when he's a member of the Irish Republic.
Okay, he is, of course, the president of the party. Richard, thank you very much. 030-30-80-55-55. Andre Murphy is a columnist from the Andersonstown News, and Sam McBride, political editor of the newsletter. Andre, some will say this is a bit too little, too late from Arlene Foster.
Well, and they definitely would have felt that last night. You know, they felt that Arlene Foster was pretending that everything had gone before hadn't happened, that she was going to treat the Irish language in a silo away from all of the other rights issues, and presenting the idea of a parallel process as something novel when it was anything but. You know, the nationalist and republican community is quite sick of having their rights being put on parallel tracks from the Good Friday Agreement onwards, regarding a Bill of Rights, regarding the Irish Language Act, you know, and particularly legacy following the Stormont House Agreement and then the Fresh Start Agreement. You know, you have a whole series of times where they have seen their rights being long-fingered in preference of, well, we need to do our bread and butter issues, we need to do health, we need to do education, and of course all that's true, but what they're finding is any talk of parallel processes or long-fingering ends up that their rights are never met, and then what happens is that they are completely demeaned, and they find that their Irish identity, as Michelle O'Neill spoke about, is demeaned as second class, and it's just not going to cut it anymore.
You say Irish identity, you heard that last caller, Andre, talking about health and waiting lists, and we're all the same on the inside, and you know there's no definition when you're waiting on an operation, mm-hmm, and we have heard that there are issues now in Northern Ireland because there is no executive, the Assembly is not up and running in terms of legislation, budgets. You know, there's a knock-on effect for everyone regardless of your religion.
Of course there is, and of course Irish language activists and Irish language speakers and people who are waiting on inquests and people who are waiting on truth and justice regarding the killings of their loved ones all are waiting on hip replacement operations, are all have children going to schools and all need decent roads built around them. Of course they do, but they have always been told to wait in line and yet never have their rights realised, and toward Christmas last year and then January, you know, an end had to come to that. And there has to be a wake-up, there has to be a realisation that that is not going to cut it anymore. And the huge votes that Sinn Féin got when they came out and said, OK, enough is enough, we need to have a different approach, I think reflects and probably surprised some people that, that a new approach was required. And quite honestly, Arlene didn't do it last night.
Sam McBride.
Morning, Vinny. I think, I had expected this speech to be what we have become used to over the summer months, really entrenched positions from the DUP and Sinn Féin, almost shifting the blame so that once the talks process collapses, really, as Enda was saying there, it won't be left carrying the can, it won't be blamed for that. I was very surprised by what Arlene Foster said last night. I think that anybody who objectively reads this speech will realise that it really goes far beyond that sort of perfunctory blaming of the other side. There was some of that in there, of course. This was a DUP audience. But what she said out last night involves very significant compromise for the DUP. And some people within the party will be very uncomfortable about that. They would be very unhappy about that if that was to be where this ultimately went. I think that the response of Sinn Féin to it, which is just so overwhelmingly negative, so quick, just completely clear that this is not something which even is open to any sort of talks process or any sort of discussion, really, it's just not something that can be taken seriously. I think that will really confirm to a lot of senior people in the DUP that their analysis of this over recent weeks privately, that really Sinn Féin aren't interested in going back into Stormont unless they get absolutely everything which they have asked for, which is politically impossible. I think that will really confirm to them that that is the situation now.
Do you think, Sam, as some have claimed, that the fact they responded so quickly to the speech from Arlene Foster, it looks bad on Sinn Féin? They've left themselves open to criticism and perhaps should have left some time and maybe more time to think, or just more time to respond in their statement as they did.
I think it certainly leaves that open as a possibility. I think the fact that the Irish Foreign Minister, who has supported Sinn Féin publicly in terms of their demand for an Irish Language Act, and the fact that he was saying this is something which is very significant, which needs to be looked at, and that it's a genuine attempt by Arlene Foster, I think that certainly makes it slightly more uncomfortable, albeit he is obviously a political rival in the Republic. But I think that what Arlene Foster was doing last night was very clearly indicating that she is prepared to accept for the first time publicly there will be Irish language legislation. Now, she might not call it an Irish Language Act. She might want to add in other bits and pieces for Ulster Scots and other things. We know that some of this was discussed privately at the talks, but I don't think anybody from the DUP, and certainly not Arlene Foster, who publicly said in February she would never accede to an Irish Language Act. It is the first time that she has come out and gave that very clear commitment. The fact that that was just completely dismissed, I think, gives us a pretty clear portent of where things are likely to go over coming weeks.